Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
To Dunn. Fletcher.
Oh, what are you doing? He threw him out of the ballgame. You got to be beeping me. What in the hell are you doing? What are you doing, Wagner? You got to be kidding me. That is so bad. That is absolutely brutal.
That's incredible.
That is unbelievable. I'll tell you what. They have got to start making guys be accountable. That is totally absurd. That just tells you he has blue. Here's an umpire in the American League knows nothing about the game of baseball. That's unbelievable. We have always had problems with this guy right here.
It's time for that legendary segment, What Are You Doing, Wagner? Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosenblum and Tom Thayer. He's in for Mark Grody. Mark Grody will be here at 1:20. Tom Thayer has been kind enough to sit in and unfortunately lend much substance to what is usually Saturday suckage. So I've had to work overtime. And What Are You Doing, Wagner, Tom? So You Know was Grody and I created this because during the pandemic when everybody was on lockdown and there were no sports and nobody was doing anything, people were doing something. And we began looking around to find out what they were doing. And like, for instance, we found out that Studs' parents, our Trash Panda producer, they were shooting trash pandas. Shooter, his dad, was up at the top floor and or looking out the window with a gun trying to kill a trash panda, them damn raccoons. And I find out, and so we usually begin, What Are You Doing, Wagner, with a report and on a Trash Panda update. What do you have for us, Trash Panda?
Oh, I got a few things. So my mom actually texted me after she heard us talking in the last hour. And
did she appreciate the fact that we've become the mom show, that Tom Thayer
sure
has added
a layer?
You know,
actually, I was supposed to remind you guys, she wanted to make you and Grody some cookies, but I told her, well, like, you guys, I don't actually see you guys right now, so she made me cookies instead. I actually still have some. But so she
Alice
wanted to make you guys cookies, so she does appreciate you guys. And she makes really good cookies. So as soon as we're all together, I'm sure she'll make you some. So there's that. Also, let me see.
Alice,
here.
Thank you for having your son hog all the good stuff. Way to teach him. Way to teach him to share, Alice. We have addresses. We accept mail.
I guess that's my fault.
Yeah. Okay.
So anyway,
carry on, Trash Panda.
So the only animal problem they had this week, I guess, is some birds are eating the tomatoes in their garden. So I'm not sure how they're going to deal with that.
Shoot them! Isn't that what Shooter does?
Oh, those are a lot harder.
Your dad just takes a gun down. That's the answer to everything.
Those are a lot harder. Those are a lot harder to get. Though they're a much smaller target. They move a lot faster. They move around a lot, especially if they're just down pecking some tomatoes. They're probably moving constantly. So that's a lot harder of a target to get. Not that I didn't do some bird shooting in my day, but that's a different story.
Okay.
And apparently Menard County's not doing a very good job not spreading COVID-19. So that's awesome.
Who's not? Say that again. It's in English.
Menard County, where my parents live, is apparently doing a horrible job with the virus right now. My mom said that there's a lot of it going through the county right now. I guess a bunch of people at the pharmacy got it. So you need to shape up, Menard County. You're not repping me very well.
Do you have a lot of Do you have St. Louis Cardinals players living in Menard County? Is that what happened?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Not right now, anyway.
In other Trash Panda news, the United States Consumer Product Safety Commission was telling, in an effort to tell people to keep your kids safe and keep your cleaning products in their original bottles locked up and out of sight of kids, it is going with a picture of a trash panda and the text lines, "You can't summon the grand raccoon to end COVID-19, but you can protect your kids by putting bottles away." So the grand raccoon, I did not know a grand raccoon could be summoned, but the United States Consumer Product Safety Commission has alerted us to that. Okay, remember Gordon Beckham? Tom, you remember Gordon Beckham?
Of course.
All right. In response to a tweet, the tweet from Sports Illustrated was, "Beckham Aaron Trout is here." So Mike Trout and his wife became parents, named their son Beckham Aaron Trout. To which Gordon Beckham retweeted, "This isn't surprising. Mike really looked up to me and wanted to model his game after me when I was traded to the Angels. I just pray the kid doesn't feel too much pressure living up to my career numbers." Gordon Beckham has a sense of humor, even if he doesn't have much career numbers.
How does he know it's not David Beckham and he wants him to grow up to be a soccer player?
Oh, you're right. With really good hair and a Spice Girl wife, right? Yeah.
Right.
By the way, is this fitting or what? I've not read enough to know whether this is intentional. It has to be intentional. That Mike Trout's son's monogram is BAT.
Yes.
Beckham Aaron Trout, BAT. It has to be intentional. That's a thing. His wife let him do that. I can't. That's a thing. This is an anniversary today. Actually, several sports and music anniversaries. It's a music anniversary. Tom, do you remember what happened on this day in 2004, August 8th? 2004, 16 years ago today.
No, but I know
it's a very fitting topic for Saturday Suckage.
8 days before Elvis's death?
No,
he died on August 16th. I'm just joking.
Yeah.
I do not know.
On the throne. He died on the throne. And
yes.
That's close. That's not a bad, this is one's, you know, less than 6 degrees of separation. But on this date, 2004, this was the time that the Dave Matthews Band tour bus dumped 800 pounds of poop on a boat full of people on the Chicago River. Back when you were allowed to have boatfuls of people on the Chicago River. So that's quite an anniversary.
Right. I think the bus driver saying, "Oh, I think this is a great spot to empty my septic tank. I think I'll do it right."
That's right.
I mean, what an insult.
What a thing. What a thing. Okay, so on August 4th, this week, there's baseball anniversary, two of them on August 4th, so it happened this week in 1993. In 1993, that was the day Robin Ventura charged the mound against Nolan Ryan. And I didn't realize this. He sort of called it before the game because Ryan always had a history of throwing at people, and he said, "He throws at me, I'm charging the mound." And he did. Also, that's what happened that day. And Ventura had been a member of the U.S. Olympic team. And the U.S. Olympic junior baseball team, this comes from Chuck Garfine of NBC Sports Chicago. He reran a piece he had written earlier. The U.S. junior Olympic baseball team spent 2 weeks in Tyler, Texas, which is Nolan Ryan country, and they went to that game that day. They took a two-hour bus ride to Arlington to watch the Rangers play the White Sox. And that game, when Robin Ventura charged the mound, Ventura does not remember speaking to this group of players beforehand, but, you know, hey, good. Go, guys. Wish you luck. All of it. Anyways, one of the players on that team was Paul Konerko. One of the players on that junior U.S. Olympic team that Ventura talked to before charging the mound was Paul Konerko. So there's your full circleness. Also,
well,
a baseball anniversary.
If you're talking to a player, a group of players that are that talented, you have to imagine that one or more of them are going to make their way into the major leagues. But it just so happened to be Paul Konerko of the White Sox, you know, just one degree of separation, I guess.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of that, make it out to the, besides making it to the pros the way your mom told you, stop crying, you're going to go see your friends, and then you stop crying as you drove to practice when you would try to hide, and then you'd cry, and you'd fake cry and do all that. A texter asked a question I should have asked as well. When did it start being fun? So when did you stop doing all the fake crying or the crying or try to avoid it? When did it start being fun and why?
You know, actually, it wasn't until about my freshman year in high school because, again, my brother was a really successful fullback, one of the best in the history of the state of Illinois. So I thought I was going to follow in his footsteps, and I was going to be the next Fair playing fullback at Joliet Catholic. So I went to practice. I felt a hand on my shoulder. It was Gordy Gillespie, the varsity coach, the head coach of Joliet Catholic, and he said, son, I hate to break the news to you. You're not going to be a fullback. I would like you to go to the offensive tackle position because I think that's where your future is. And I was reluctant about it because I thought I was going to follow in the footsteps of Rick. That didn't happen. And then they started feeding me some plays that were the offensive tackle was instrumental in the success or failure of the play. And then because I was bigger, I was able to have some success. And then all of a sudden, it became fun. It became, you know, the fun position of offensive line, learning that you're kind of part, a unit, a part of a team. And that's when everything clicked for me. And because Joliet Catholic was a program that if we had 80 plays in the game, 79 of them were running plays and we threw it once. So that was the really clicking for me because if you grow up in Joliet, you always want to be able, you know, Joliet Memorial Stadium was something you always aspired to play in. And so when the whole thing led to being an offensive lineman and how important it was, that's when the seriousness really clicked in for me.
Okay. All right. Texture, hope that answers your question. So before we close out, what are you doing, Wagner? I wondered, this is a version of, if like Saturday Suckage, In the media world could have a sister city, it would be this. The 49th anniversary of the publication of something called The Book of Failures. And it was written, it includes such things as a story about prisoners tunneling out of prison and then upward and believe they were hitting their escape route, but they dug a hole right into the courtroom where they had been sentenced to prison. And they were going right back. So that's what's in the Book of Failures. Now, the Book of Failures was also was authored by Stephen Pyle. And Stephen Pyle was the founder of the Not Terribly Good Club of Great Britain. And he formed this club and it gained renown for the people proud of their incompetence. And he wrote the Book of Failures, and the book was a raging success. So 2 years after he founded the Not Terribly Good Club of Great Britain, the club was closed and he was fired as president because they received 20,000 membership applications because he was a raging success. And his deathless quote about the Not Terribly Good Club of Great Britain, even as failures, we failed. That would be the sister. That would be the sister city of Saturday Suckage. He failed because he wrote a bestseller about failure. you know, it just turns on itself like that. That's the way it is. Thank you for sitting through another segment of What Are You Doing, Wegner? We'll take a break. When we come back, Bears football. We will talk Bears football with Mark Rohde and Tom Thayer. They're both here. And we will do that next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contracts. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it.
Are you playing me off?
That's what's happening, right? Okay.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bears.
Who said that? Crash Panda, who said that?
It was Mark Rohde.
Who said that? Was it really? Is that Mark Rohde? He's on this show. Well, he's on the show now. That's usually his show. But it's not his show this week. Tom Thayer is sitting in for Mark Rohde. And here's Mark Rohde now on the Alpamonte Ford hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Mark Rohde, how you doing?
I just looked it up right now. Mm-hmm. In the bylaws of Saturday Suckage here. Uh-huh. And hold on, let me put my reading glass on. It says, you are not allowed to have somebody with 85 Bear credibility on the show as a co-host or guest or contributing in any way, shape, or form. Penalty for such infraction is execution. So, Tom, I'm sorry that you had to be on the show today. You're not in trouble. Don't worry. You're doing great. It's Steve that is ultimately in trouble and the Trash Panda.
You have to blame Spilkus or Shane's Meats. Blame them.
Spilkus is on vacation, so he cannot be blamed. Yeah. Second in command is Shane, so this one's on Reardon for sure.
Okay. All right. So Mark Rohde joins us. He covers the Bears for the Score. Tom Thayer is here, and he covers the Bears for sitting next to Jeff Joniak. And we were talking earlier, the that Chuck Pagano, with healthy players, has a whole different defense than he had last year, and a whole different plan for Eddie Jackson. I think that was central as a guy who makes plays. What do you make of all that, Mark?
I actually, to me it sounded, you guys could tell me if I'm wrong, it sounded like Chuck Pagano has a similar plan for Eddie Jackson this year as he did last year, and I thought that was one of the most poignant moments of the Zoom. When asked about Eddie Jackson, you know, Chuck Pagano went out of his way to say that they don't like to define free and strong safety as much, and that there's a fine line, and what he said about Eddie Jackson was, It is about matchups. It is about putting him in the best position to succeed and put him in the best position to make plays for the Bears to beat whomever the opponent is. So, I don't know. It sounded to me like it you will see him floating around between center field and that strong safety spot, similar to what you saw last year. I don't know if that's the best thing in the world for Eddie Jackson, considering when he was just free to do whatever he wanted in 2018, he was a superstar and he made the flash play. So I don't know, Tom, did you hear the same thing, that Eddie Jackson's there's going to be more of the same from him this year in terms of where he's positioned?
Yeah, but you know, Mark, you're bringing up a great point in terms of Chuck Pagano, because Chuck Pagano, he went on to reference, I don't want to tell the quarterback coming in, and what is it, that Tom Brady's coming here and that he can, I just look for where the safeties are standing and it's going to tell you the story of the defense. He can't do that to the quarterbacks. He's got to be able to move these guys around and maneuver them around to keep the quarterback guessing. So I think he made a really valid point, and I was kind of I was excited to hear it, just because the thing that you want a defensive coordinator thinking ahead of a time, even if you're talking about Matthew Stafford week one, is you always need to create some confusion and thinking by the quarterback when he gets to the line of scrimmage.
The other thing that I was actually happy to hear as it pertains to the safety position, guys, was that Pagano did say, and you know, I don't know if this is going to be completely the case, but he did say publicly that there will be a legit competition as in equal snaps for Deion Bush and Tashaun Gibson at the other safety spot, no matter how you want to define it. And here's why I like it. Like, I like Gibson. I think he probably will end up being the other starter, but I really want to see, like, Deion Bush had an excellent training camp last year. It looked like he got equal reps to HaHa Clinton Dix last year. You know, they put Bush in more this year than they had in past years. I also think, like, I wouldn't mind seeing Bush be the starter, because I think he fills more of that traditional strong safety, good tackler, a little bit more of a hitter role. Like, I feel like he would probably have more chemistry with Eddie Jackson, similar to what Adrian Amos had with Eddie Jackson. The best combo that Eddie Jackson has had so far in his career was with Adrian Amos, because he was willing to do the dirty work and not be the center fielder. And I think that Gibson actually has been more of a free safety in his career than he has been a strong safety. So, I think it's probably going to be Gibson. I mean, why bring him in if it's not? But I really hope that they are truly giving Bush a chance to be the starter this year.
Maybe you guys can clarify for me. We were talking, Mark, earlier about the hole in the middle of the defense of Eddie Goldman's absence, and Tom mentioned John Jenkins, and I know he was placed on the COVID list, which is not permanent. He didn't opt out. He tested positive. I don't know if there's been an update. That was the
He's
last.
Back. He's back, Steve. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So what is it that, and this is for both of you, what is it that he does or can do that can claw back some of what Eddie Goldman did that can help the rest of the defensive line and the linebackers?
57, I'll let you go first on this one.
Well, you know, it's just a big body. You know, Steve and Mark, it was always funny, because every time that we left the locker room before a game, Steve McMichael would say, "Okay, Singletary, let me and Hampton go out there and turn you into another all-pro season." And so And, it, you know, he said it in jest, but it really speaks volumes. Because when you talk about what the linebackers can do, it's about the big bodies in front of them. So John Jenkins is not going to be expected to do something that he has the inability to do. He's going to be able to stand on the shoulder of the center and be able to absorb two offensive linemen coming at him, trying to delay their ability to get to that second level, and hopefully by that time the linebackers made a decision and get into the position to make a tackle. So, Mark, I'm a believer that John Jenkins can really offer a lot of what Eddie Goldman does. He's just a little bit older, a little bit more experiences, and Eddie hopefully has a bigger upside coming to him, but their game planning can be similar to what they would do with either of them.
One of the things that makes Eddie Goldman so dangerous, obviously he's got the size, he is legitimate and natural as a nose tackle, but as Chuck Pagano pointed out, one of the things about him is he's got foot speed. He's got quicks, man. He can move a little bit, and I think that is like one of the things that separates him, obviously, from the other backups on the Bears and from a lot of nose tackles, quite frankly, around the NFL, because he's climbing his way up the ladder. I don't think he's the best nose tackle in the NFL yet, but maybe top 10 at this point for Eddie Goldman. So it is that speed, that natural quicks that maybe you would not have in John Jenkins. And I think that this will be, I got a feeling it's going to be a work in progress throughout the year, that you're not just going to see one guy in that spot. Ideally, that's what you'd like to see with John Jenkins, but I think, you know, Bilal Nichols needs to take another step after a really good rookie year, and then he tailed off a little last year, whether it was injuries or just the sophomore slump. Abdullah Anderson is a veteran who is capable. Roy Roberts, too. I mean, every year it seems like, Tom, he takes like another inch forward, not giant steps forward, but every year this is a guy that has gotten a little bit better for the Bears. So, and I even asked the question directly to Chuck Pagano on Zoom, it was actually Jay Rogers, the defensive line coach, who is working out with the ones at nose tackle, and there was no succinct answer. It was everybody. So I don't think they have the answer yet, but they have a lot of good candidates.
Our guest is Mark Rohde on Mark Rohde's usual show. Well, Mark Rohde's not on his usual show. He's a guest on this show on Saturday Suckage. Tom Thayer is sitting in for Grody. Grody is guesting here. But, Mark, you'll be hosting your show. Do we have any? It seemed to be tailored around Chicago Cubs baseball, and there is no baseball. So you'll be on the air at 3 today until, or when, or has, what's
6
changed?
O'clock. I will be on until 6 o'clock, and so far on the show, here is what I have planned, and you'll love this. We'll be going to St. Louis today at 3:20 to talk to our old friend Chris Ranji, who is now a sports talk show host at What ESPN in St. Louis. So we'll find out what the hell is going on with the Cardinals. The number one question will be, will the Cardinals play baseball again this year? So we will...
How's it going, Chris Ranji?
we'll talk to the Ranj about that. I've got Steve Conroy. I love talking to Steve Conroy, the former Blackhawks defenseman, current hockey analyst for NBC Sports Chicago. I watched, you know, him and Pat and the boys in the studio yesterday doing their thing. So we're going to pick Conroy's brain about the next round and what happened with the Blackhawks. And then 5 o'clock, Tom, would you be able to come on at 5 o'clock with me? Because I have an opening.
Sure. You got my number.
Sweet. Oh, I'm so nervous.
booking the show on the air on another show.
I want Tom's credibility to come back. You know, after being on this show for the last, you know, 2.5 hours, I think, you know, whatever credibility Thayer has lost just by his appearance, by his presence with you, I would like him to retain.
He is. He's an angel who is descended from planet Credibility, and he's spreading the good all over the place. So let me run this by both of you. It was the Athletic surveyed 30 agents and talent evaluators, and one of the questions they were asked was the most interesting or surprising contract signed in free agency. So there is the Brady, the Cam Newton, Jameis Winston, blah, blah. And somebody said, Jimmy Graham signing for 2 years and $16 million with the Bears. Quote, did they watch his tape? That was shocking. That was a shocking contract to me. There's no way anybody else would have offered him that kind of money. So what is What is likely, not the best that you can expect is Jimmy Graham, who hasn't been around for a lot of years. I don't know if the best you can expect is the worst now, but what is a likely outcome for the Jimmy Graham experience as Bears tight end?
Honestly, I think that it's interesting when they made the signing for Jimmy Graham, it was met with 100% negativity from Bears fans, and that I think part of the reason was that was the first like real move of the offseason. But I think since they drafted Cole Kmet, since they went out and signed, and I get this is the other side of the ball, signed Robert Quinn, brought in Tashaun Gibson, drafted Jalen Johnson, it was like that was just the first move of many. And there have been many other moves that the Bears have made that have been more significant. But I don't know. I like the way it looks. Now that everything is fallen into place, Jimmy Graham is properly motivated. He's heard the critiques. He's heard that he's at the end of his career. And I'm looking forward to seeing what the Bears offense can do, what they can create for Graham this year to put him in a position to win, which is, as you know, Tom, that's what a coach's existence is all about, putting guys in position to win, and I think they could do that with Graham. Do you?
Well, first of all, you got to look at the output of the tight end position in their totality last year. It was the worst in the league. I think 416 or 419 yards total receiving yards. So, Jimmy Graham, what did you sign him for? That's the first question. To me, Jimmy Graham, I'm signing him for first downs. If he catches a majority of his passes from 1 to 10 yards off the line of scrimmage, I'll be happy with that. He's been durable. He's been on the field every game. So he's not here to be the savior of the offense. He's here to be a bigger contributor at that U tight end position, to have a receiver that needs to be covered. Because Jimmy Graham, whether you like the contract or not, you're not going to line him up out there and he's going to be uncovered and they're just going to let him run downfield. You didn't sign him for 60-yard touchdowns. You signed him to add first downs. In Rosie, when we were talking about it, for the offense to stay on the field, they got to be better at getting first downs, which will help their defense. Mm-hmm. So you look at Graham, and then you look at Cole Kmet, you look at Demetrius Harris, you look at what J.P. Holtz has been able to do, and you can't forget about Jesper Horsted because he's got pass-catching ability. So he's only a part of the tight end position. He's not the offensive savior. So, hey, I don't even pay attention to the financial portion of contracts anymore because it's become irrelevant to me. It's almost I need a player put in a position that maybe provide 45 catches of a majority of them being first downs to help the overall process of the offense, because you need Cole Kmet to really be the big hitter if you're talking about big play ability and run after the catch out of the tight end position. Two different players, but you're asking two different results out of each of them.
Okay, so about Cole Kmet, I know he's near and dear to your Notre Dame heart, Tom, and Mark, they've talked him up, and he seems the right man, right look, right thing. We don't know how well a guy learns in the NFL at the NFL level until he actually has to learn something at the NFL level. But is there a number of games you have, Tom, number of games you have, Mark, where he becomes the guy and Jimmy Graham is not window dressing but a second option, and Cole Kmet is actually a game-deciding, a drive-deciding touchdown?
Go ahead, Mark.
You know, I think it's going to be rough for Cole Kmet this year. Now, and it's really hard to get, substantive answers out of these Zoom calls right now just because they're not doing a whole lot. And when the topic came up with, I think it was Bill Lazor. Yeah, it was Lazor. What he basically said was Cole Kmet it seems like he's really smart. It seems like he knows what he's doing, but we have no idea until we start to put on some pads and do real drills, which probably won't happen for about another week and a half. So he's got everything he needs. He's equipped with the football smarts and the football IQ. He's got the skill, but with the compromised offseason, I don't know if it's realistic to expect Cole Kmet to come in. And I think he'll probably start, but I think it's going to take a few games for Cole Kmet to become a real weapon and a real option. And from what I've learned from coaches and people like Tom Thayer, that wide tight end position is, it's a difficult one to learn, a difficult one to come in and thrive right away.
Well, you know, the Bears fans probably aren't going to like what I have to say, because Cole Kmet, they want to talk about his receiving ability and what a big threat he is downfield. However, I believe he's got to become a blocker first. The worst thing you want to do is put a player on the field and then become predictable as to what he can and cannot do. If Cole Kmet can go out there and hold his own as a blocker, he's going to help the deceptiveness of the offense. So that's where he's got to be trained at the first. New tight ends coach Barone will come in here, work with Juan Castillo, and get him involved in the blocking schemes. Once he becomes an efficient blocker, hey, he doesn't have to become, you know, the next Kittle until about midway point of the season. However, he's got to be good enough at blocking where, when he's on the field, the defense can't change their configuration because they know what he's in there for.
All right, you two kids can carry on this conversation at 5 o'clock today when Mark Rohde has his own show, because I think it's great that he can become your Mark. That Mark, make sure Tom tells your audience that Kmet has until 5 games to become George Kittle as a blocker. That's
okay.
It.
Okay, all right,
that's,
yeah.
That's the way it
five
works.
5 games, and he's that's totally it. Tom, I got to tell you, man, I've enjoyed listening to you. Like, I hate that the circumstances, but I've enjoyed listening to you and Zach. I've been a little bit jealous that Zach has gotten you as a co-host, and I've been left all alone as a solo host throughout all of this time. But you're a blast to listen to, man. You're a good talk show host.
Well, I told you, until you learn how to make your own hard-boiled eggs, I don't know if I can actually co-host with you.
Wow, there's a man who takes notes. What a tough grader. This is a tough room, I gotta tell you.
Yeah, Tom is, for people who don't know, Tom's been offended by the fact that I would go to stores to buy 2 hard-boiled eggs for $5 or 3 for $7 or $8 as opposed to making my own. I was intimidated by the process, but I have recently started to make my own batches. And honestly, most of that is because of Tom Thayer, and he hard-boiled egg shamed me.
He shamed me. Okay, more hard-boiled egg talk at 5 o'clock today on Mark Brody's show. Don't miss it. And this is the content you came to Saturday Suckage for. Mark, thanks. Have a good show. We appreciate you joining us.
See you, Mark.
Bye, guys.
It's Mark Rohde. You see, hear him today at 3 o'clock. So we'll take a break. When we come back, I do have a question about the quarterbacks. Going Tom's take on who grows up to be what and what is Matt Nagy really looking for. And I have a thought on that. I'll run it by Tom. He's Tom Thayer. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosenblum and Tom Thayer. He's sitting in for Mark Rohde. It's all Tom Thayer all the time here on The Score. After Tom Thayer is done with Steve Rosenblum here, Tom Thayer will be on Bears All Access at 2 o'clock till 3 o'clock. Then the Mark Rohde Show at 3 o'clock, he'll be on at 5 o'clock. It's all Tom Thayer all the time. The Tom Thayer petting zoo on radio for you. That's exactly what it should be. And everybody would be smarter. Right. Tom, I got a question for you. If they're going to just base this on practice, the quarterback battle, derby, whatever it is, Mitch Trubisky, Nick Foles, Mitch Trubisky always looks good in practice. He cannot transfer it into games. So how could the coaches possibly judge whether he's better or not at any of this? Help me here.
Well, I think it's about timing and the right decision. So, Steve, as they put together a practice plan, I can give the same plays to Nick Foles that I gave to Mitchell Trubisky the day before. And then you go back and you watch evaluation. There's an exact to every single offensive play run successfully or if it failed. And so in terms of the pass protection, how it coordinates with the decision the quarterback has to make according to the coverage and the right receiver to throw it to. It's obvious. It's not like, okay, I saw this, I held the ball unrealistically for 5 seconds in practice and then I threw it, but I would have got sacked twice. That's not the way it is. But in terms of practicing against a really aggressive Bears defense, the quarterbacks are going to have to be at the top of their game. So if they do go out and they have a 7-on-7 period or 11-on-11 teamwork and they're going through a pass-heavy routine, you can understand who's seeing the field correctly. That evaluation will start in conversation. When you're asked a question in a meeting, your response has to be immediate. It can't be sitting there thinking and mulling over points for a minute and a minute and a half. You're beat, you're sacked. It's got to be an answer that comes within the same time frame of throwing the ball in less than 3 seconds. So the beginning of this evaluation has already started. And then how a transfer to the field is going to be able to tell the story. And like I said, after 5 games, I want Cole Kmet to be an efficient blocker. After 7 or 9 practices, I want the coaches to have a front runner to that quarterback derby. And they have an understanding by that point who is leading the race. And I think it's realistic. Steve, going back to the USFL, the second year I was there, we brought in Doug Williams right before the start of training camp. And we didn't have preseason games. So that decision was made throughout the practices we are having and the periods that we would be a little bit more aggressive to help make that decision. Coaches can do it with the formula of taking these practice scripts and giving it to one quarterback one day and give it to the next quarterback the next day, and the decisions can be made. So I think under these circumstances, you're going to have to be aggressive about your decision, but there is an analytical way of going about making the right decision.
7 to 9 practices. You don't think the coaches have an idea now? Because I think their idea... I think Nagy's idea, Nagy's thoughts, Nagy's decision has been made, and here's why. What happens, what his experience with Mitch Trubisky has been, he's had to throw out a bunch of, not dumb the playbook down, but he's had to limit his choice of pages because, for whatever reason, sometimes injury, but mostly it's Mitch Trubisky's learning curve, and his ability to read defenses, master coverages, as Nagy said. I think he loves the idea of Nick Foles because Nagy gets to use more of his own playbook that he thinks the world of. I think he's already there with Foles. He just can't really say it. What do you think of that?
Well, I do think that Nick Foles has the upper hand in terms of experience. But to me, how threatening is Mitchell Trubisky willing to be with his legs? And that may help Mitchell Trubisky sustain the battle, sustain the competition here, because Mitch is more talented with his legs than Nick Foles is. Nick Foles sees the downfield opportunities more clearly than Mitchell Trubisky does. So that's, there's going to be two types of plans here. And again, through my experience, and I'm going to say this, but I'm not comparing them. I'm just talking about the competition. When Steve Young went to the San Francisco 49ers, he was considered a failure up until that point. Joe Montana saw the field better and more efficiently in the Bill Walsh system than Steve Young did. Steve Young was still a threat because of his athleticism and his legs. And then he was able, in a certain amount of time, to overtake Joe because he was a better athlete playing in the West Coast offense. I think that's going to be the most interesting aspect to pay attention to, is the willingness for Mitch to take every play that he's uncertain and turn it into a gain because of his legs. Now, if he gets hurt like he has in the last couple of years, then he's not going to be the same threatening player with his legs that he can be. So I think it's an interesting, you're looking at two dynamics of two quarterbacks, that there's a lot of differences between them, but that gives that Nick the upper hand is that he's got more on-field NFL experience.
But the coach took away Trubisky's, he tried to turn him into a pocket quarterback starting in the Green Bay game that was eminently winnable last year in the opener, and then he changed during the season. Did the coach learn something? Does a quarterback get a break? Does he get pity points for that? Is that what you're saying, that has to be part of the plan?
The reason you brought Mitch here is because you're trying to make that transition to an RPO offense. If you take the R part out of it for the quarterback and it's just a pass option, then you're becoming one-dimensional. And if your skills can't get the ball out of your hand downfield, then it's gonna dwindle your value. And so I still think Mitch has to keep his legs. Part of his repertoire, as much as he's got to improve on locating downfield targets accurately.
Okay, well, we'll see if that happens. Tom, I know we're going to hear the music soon and we're going to be played off and we'll get to the next edition of Tom Thayer Radio, which will be Bears All Access. But I do appreciate you sitting in. It's been a pleasure. It's been great fun. I anticipated it would be, and being able to talk football with you is just a joy. Thank you.
Hey, I appreciate you having me, honestly. Thanks a lot. I enjoy listening to you guys on Saturday, and it was nice to be a part of it today.
We hope to be back to Saturday Suckage next week. Tom raised the bar so high, we hope we can get that style stank off us. We want to thank Mark Grody for joining us on our show, and Tom will join Mark on Mark's show at 5 o'clock today. Maddie Lee of NBC Sports Chicago, James Naveau of NBC Sports 5 talking hockey, and Trash Panda produced us, and we got all the moms involved on this show as we usually do. Bears All Access is next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It wouldn't have been possible if we weren't here to be told how much we suck. So kudos to you guys for sucking as bad as we do.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
It.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.